In the name of the one who gives tranquility to the hearts of the believers, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. We send our peace and blessings upon the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the last of them, Muhammad, and his progeny, and those companions who followed their path. We send our special peace and blessings upon Hussein and Ali ibn al-Hussein and the children of Hussein and the companions of Hussein alayhi salam. Today's topic, dear brothers and sisters, will be freedom of speech and the Islamic view on it. What limits do we have? Do we have any limits? What about blasphemy? And so on. Our expert will be the president of the Open University of Al-Mustafa, Sheikh Qambari, who will join us in the studio today. Sheikh Qambari, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you very much.
And as usual, we have our co-host, Ms. Sadiqiyan, who will help me in hosting this program. Ms. Sadiqiyan, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam and everyone here. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be on our Master Muhammad, his purified progeny, his selected companions, and all God's messengers. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, friends of Open Talk. I'm your host, Elahe Sadiqiyan, with you. And Open Talk, Open Talk tries to help us see beyond society and come up with better concepts, inshallah. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more. Welcome back. You're watching a live broadcast of Open Talk from the Holy City of Qom, Sahar Universal Network. Don't forget, dear viewers, to follow us on YouTube and support our program Open Talk on Facebook and Twitter, and also Skype us. You'll have our phone number during the program on the screen. Let's get started with freedom of speech and our colleague and our experts.
All right, let's go directly into it, Sheikh. Do we have freedom of speech in Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in innahu khayru nasirin wa mu'in. I can say yes, there is freedom of speech in Islam, in every religion, because if we consider all religions, the beginning of any religion is speech. And of course, freedom of speech. Allah started speaking to the prophets, and prophets of God started speaking to the people, and people were able to talk with the prophets of God in a very free environment. If it was not there, I mean freedom, then people were not able to talk very freely, friendly with the prophets of God. And there are also evidence within the Islamic history, as well as the history of the other religions, that we see that there were an environment between people and the prophets of God in which people freely talked to the prophets and they asked their questions, and even they criticized the prophets of God, and prophets without any, you know, problem just answered the questions and tolerated people and just defend the religion.
Sheikh Qambari, this is a very sensitive topic. The viewers we have would like to know, what kind of sources do we have from our Islamic text, from our Islamic sources, from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do we have that can prove this?
About freedom of speech. Of course, what we have in Islamic
and
context.
Bear in mind, Sheikh, that we're talking about 1,400 years ago, when we didn't have this kind of concepts.
I see. So if we refer to our sources that are Islamic sources, we can find at least two major sources for Islamic teachings and understanding Islam in the best way. The first one, and this is the major one, the important one, the most important one, is the Holy Quran, the glorious Quran that we have is the revelation of God, and word by word is the revelation of God, nothing is added to that, and nothing is just reduced or erased from that and omitted from that. So word by word and letter by letter is the words of God and talking of God. Then it is authentic and reliable. We can go and whatever we find in the Holy Quran, we can say that's okay. We can say this is something that we can rely on that.
Could you give us some text? Could you give us some verses?
This is the first source, and the other source is the tradition of Prophet, of course. Mm-hmm. All Muslims do believe in the tradition of Prophet. And we Shia Muslims also have additional sources that are the traditions of Ahlul Bayt, also added to the tradition of Prophet.
Maybe we could add a fourth point, the Aql perspective.
Of course.
Logic and reason.
There are two main sources, but to understand these two main sources, we do need some other means.
All right.
The important one is aql, reason. If we don't use our aql, without reasoning, without thinking, how could we understand what does Quran say or what does the tradition say? So we have to use our abilities, our potentials to understand what is existing in the Quran, in the tradition of Ahlul Bayt. So the first verse that is revealed over the Prophet was Iqra. Allah started talking to his prophet through the Jabra'il, the angels. And the first word is Iqra, means recite or read. And there was nothing to be read or to be recited over there. Iqra here means to talk, just speak. Speak in the name of God first. Just you have to name God's name and then to say whatever is revealing to you right now to the people. So this is the meaning of Iqra.
All right.
So Allah is going to teach us and talk to us. And prophets also have great mission, including our prophet, of course, the last prophet and the seal of all the prophets. He started talking and delivering the message of God to the people through tongue, through speech. So this is the high importance of that.
Do we have other verses?
And we do have different verses about talking. Even when we want to talk about the people of the book, non-Muslims.
Yes.
So we are ordered and commanded by Allah the Almighty to talk to the other people who are following the other religions, other sects in their understanding. Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. O people of the book, come to talk about the shared points, shared efforts, and common things. And what's the common things between all the religions?
God.
And لا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا.
What I have in my mind is the verse that says that in Surah Al-Kafirun, that you have your religion and I have my own religion.
Yeah, so in this...
Would that be a strong proof?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Or maybe that's for freedom of religion more.
Freedom of religion and freedom of speech. It means that what is on the shoulder of Prophet and the people who are inviting, you know, the other people to the right path, religion, is to talk and invite only. There's nothing more. Just we have to say the truth and people are free to accept that truth, to follow that or not. So we cannot force people to accept anything that we are talking about, that then they are free to speak about whatever they are believing in.
Okay? There is no force.
There's no force in Islam, in religion. Then these verses showing that people are free to have their own faith.
What can you say from the Sunnah, Sheikh?
From the Sunnah, there are so many evidence. So within the Quran, there is another verse.
All right.
You know, Allah says when you want to talk about the other people, it's better to talk in a best manner, in a best way. You know, the way of talking is important also.
Don't be harsh.
Don't be harsh. Don't
offensive,
condemn people.
Insulting.
Don't disrespect people. Don't disgrace people. With a very respectful, you know,
way.
Method and way, we have to talk to the people. So manner, akhlaq, ethics, morals, all of them should be considered when we want to talk to people, to address people in a best way. And Allah says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. So when you want to talk to people, try your best to talk in the best way. What is good and beautiful and nice, so address them through that way.
All right.
Not the way they don't accept that. So when we come to the tradition, there are so many evidence for that.
Could you mention us some of them?
Just some of them.
Yes.
I can say
from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yeah, we do have the Sirah of Prophet, traditional Prophet, as well as the Ahlul Bayt, in which Prophet and the other Ahlul Bayt used to listen to the voice of people, to the speech of people, and then with a very nice way, they used to address whatever they have from the challenges, from the problems, misunderstanding about the mission of Prophet.
Yes.
Very nicely, Prophet used to welcome all the ideas, even the ideas that are paradoxical, that are objective, that are, you know, problematic in the very first sight. But Prophet used to tolerate all of these speeches and and listening.
Even some
to
poets.
The,
even some poets at that time,
exactly,
who were opponents of the Prophet.
Exactly, but Prophet used to listen first. He was active listener to the people. When people used to talk, freedom of speech is there, but cannot be implemented unless there should be another side, and the side is active listener. If we don't listen actively, it means that to listen and sometimes to confirm what they are saying, the other people, and tolerate them, and by showing your, by your gesture, showing that you are listening and getting the points, all the points, and at the end, stop talking about what they said, agree or disagree. So the two sides is important, of course, but the way we are addressing the other people after active, being active listener, is important. We have to respect the others, and Prophet used
Sheikh,
to do that.
Because of shortage of time, could you please tell us about the borders or the limits of freedom of speech according to Islam?
You know, at the beginning, we have to think about our position in the universe, in the world. Are we free, absolutely free, or we have some limitations? When we define our linkage to Allah the Almighty, we reach to that point that we are slaves of God, servants of God, created by God, then we're not absolutely free to do whatever we want and to
and
talk
to say
whatever
we say.
We want. Yeah. So this is not, you know, allowed. Then if we say we are the slaves of God, created by God, then we have to listen to the commands of God, recommendations of God should be implemented by us.
Yes.
Then with respect to the speaking and talking, we have to consider the measures that are coming from God to us. Some of the speaking are haram, some of them are allowed, some of them are wajib, obligatory to all Muslims. So we have to consider all these limits that are mentioned in Sharia. So Sharia is something playing a role of limitation for all of actions that we do.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We're going for a break. Please join us after the break.
Freedom of speech, according to secular definition, is the political right to communicate one's opinions and ideas using one's body and property to anyone who's willing to receive them. The term freedom of expression is sometimes used synonymously, but includes any act of seeking, receiving, and imparting information or ideas, regardless of the medium used. In Islam, there are discrepancies in this definition. Imam Ali has said, freedom of speech consists of speaking the truth. The limitations, or rather restrictions, of this are any speech that threatens the stability and peace in society. Examples are divulging secrets and betrayal. We see by this difference that the purpose of speech in Islam is to propagate truth in order to advise, encourage, warn, or assist a person or group of people against oppression, or towards progress in their lives, whether spiritual, mental, or otherwise. If the purpose of Islam is the propagation of truth, and providing this is being upheld, why is the truth, or the messengers of the truth, often silenced in today's societies? What are those who silence trying to protect or hide? And what is the duty then of those who have been silenced or sit aside? When we look into the propagation of information, we may ask ourselves the motives for allowing it to be controlled by a few financially influential corporations. Should freedom of speech be limited? Who is to decide how it is limited, and what are the criterions of limitation? Finally, have we seen that insults are curbed
Or is it rather the defense that is silenced? Imam Hussein alayhi salam showed that it is never acceptable to remain silent when the truth is required. Which party are we assisting by our silence? And given that fear prevents us from exercising our freedom of speech, is not speaking the truth when required a great step towards achieving our own freedom?
Thank you for watching, viewers. On Facebook, on the page Islam's View Towards Freedom of Speech, Dr. Ghambari, freedom of speech is a Western concept that completely contradicts Islam. In reality, there is no such thing as absolute free speech and free expression. What exists is speech within predefined limits that differ between nations. Nowadays, freedom of speech is used as a colonial tool in the Muslim world to support the propagation of Western ideas and to suppress Islamic ideas. Increasingly, this is happening within Western societies also as anti-terror policies are used to clamp down on what are deemed as extreme opinions. How much do you agree, totally, partly, or no?
Well, freedom of speech is something new, modern. Yeah, I agree with that. But it doesn't mean that there is no evidence for that within the Islamic sources, such as the Holy Quran and the tradition of Ahlul Bayt. You know, somebody was claiming in an article that there is no human rights in Islam because I searched the word of human rights in the Quran and the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, I couldn't find any word similar to human rights or the exact word of human rights. But this is not the good search, the way of search. You know, there is a thematic approach toward understanding the Holy Quran and the other traditions, the sources that we have. The thematic exegesis or the thematic interpretation of the Holy Quran and the Ahadith refer to that point. If we couldn't find the exact word of, like, human rights or freedom of speech or for example, the other notions that we have in the modern era of the time, so we have to zoom and focus on the theme that exists today, the theme of freedom of speech, not the word itself, but the theme, the atmosphere that we want to talk about, that the paradigm that we want to create today in which all the thinkers to think under that umbrella that we want to create. So freedom of speech is a new notion, but we can find many, many evidence for that within Islam and the other things. But of course, it should be mentioned that there is no absolute freedom of speech in the West even. So the Western countries or the people who are claiming that there is freedom of speech, but if you just talk about things that are threatening the policies of the West, for example, or they think that they are under danger, under attack of this notion that you are creating or raising, they stop you without any delay, that don't talk in this way. Freedom of speech is something they are using as a mean to you know, progress, to develop their own understanding, exactly, their own policies, their own benefits, national benefits, And if you say there is no God, for example, for the Westerners, then you're free to say, to criticize God, prophets of God, all the holy things or holy beliefs, it doesn't matter. But if you say this, you know, capitalism, secularism,
Holocaust,
for example, should be criticized, no, you're not allowed to say that. This is the meaning of freedom of speech. But freedom of speech in Islam means that you are free, not from Sharia, but within the Sharia. So you are free in Sharia, in the framework of Sharia, not out of the Sharia. But within that framework, you can do whatever you want. To the extent not to, you know, disrespect or violate one of the rulings of God, then you're free. This is the meaning of freedom of speech in Islam.
Thank you for the point, sir.
Sheikh,
brother, we have...
If we go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that, and this is something that the Westerners emphasize a lot on, the executions of poets that worked as the mass media or propaganda machine at that time in Mecca and Medina. Now we see that the Prophet gave the death verdict to some of those poets. the execution of some of those poets who were against him and opponents of him. How do you explain this for our viewers?
You know, this is the point that, you know, aiming the essence of Islam. You know, sometimes we do have media. At that time, we had poems, for example, as a great media, really, was great and influential over the people. People used to memorize some poems and just recite all over the country. So that was great and strong media at that time. And if this media is serving the humanity and people, the community, and true understanding of the way of life, then they are welcoming, and all the religions are welcoming these kind of things. But even the mosque at that time was one of the medias at that time, isn't it? One of the medium.
The mosque, yeah.
Yeah. So the medium, a mosque as a medium, sometimes plays the role of, you know, just attacking the religion itself. Mm. At that moment, they have to destroy that mosque. We had Masjid Dharar.
Yes.
So at that moment, there were some people gathering at that place. But
isn't
we're
that
just planning against Prophet.
Isn't that a kind of interpretation that we're saying that if it serves humanity, all right, who decides that it serves humanity? Me as a Muslim or that person who is my opponent, who is,
you know,
fighting against me through poetry?
The best person can talk about the real needs of human beings and the community itself is the Prophet of God, because Prophet is coming from God,
right,
and whatever he is receiving is a revelation of God, and then he can talk and address the real needs and the real meaning of life and humanities. If he says, for example, okay, this is against your, you know, dignity,
yes,
your humanity, your nature, then we have to accept it because we believed in that this is the Prophet of God.
So we should know the Prophet himself first.
Right. We should know Prophet
and believe in him.
And after Prophet, we should know the successor of the Prophet,
yes,
and then follow these people because they are not against us.
All right. Then this will lead us to this my other question about blasphemy.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that in the West, we're allowed to talk about that that God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's free. But at the same time, if you say anything about the Holocaust, you were put in prison.
Yeah.
All right. We have seen it. Now, what about the things that, from our point of view, we call it blasphemy?
Yeah.
Could you link it to freedom of speech somehow, or is that forbidden? If I say in a Muslim country,
yeah,
or in an Islamic context, that let's talk about God's existence, or let's talk about criticizing the Prophet himself, isn't that blasphemy?
You know, sometimes we are engaging in a very scientific debate. Then we are free to talk about different, you know, abilities or different possible ideas.
Among educated people.
Among the educated
people. In a private room.
Not in public room, you know, because in the public room, there are so many people who are not in a level of understanding that you talk about that.
So we make a distinction here.
Exactly.
Between those educated people who talk about this kind of topics.
And about the prisons of the public.
And the
there
public.
Is a distinction.
So we make
over
this distinguish.
Okay. Of course, we should do that because, you know, in a theology is the science of talking about God, God's existence, attributes, and the actions of God. Over there are so many discussions against God's existence, God's attributes, God's oneness. So all the opinions are going to be raised, and then somebody is coming as a teacher, professor, is coming to criticize all of them and to prove one as the best answer for that, as the best debate and discussion for that. So it's okay. There is freedom of speech in academic and scientific center and just debate. But if we are coming to the media, right now we're talking on television, then we're not allowed to talk whatever we are talking in a private realm.
We're not allowed to talk here in the
studio.
We're
not allowed, exactly. Right. So Prophet was using this this policy, this strategy. And Ahlul Bayt also, they had some secret.
So,
you know,
Sheikh, could we say that the freedom of speech, the limits we have in the West, is broader than the one we have here?
Because they
talk about everything in the TV.
I can say we're not free exactly because we are the slaves of God. We have to consider the limits of God, hududullah.
Yes.
So these limits cannot be violated by us because we claim that we are Muslims.
Yes.
Muslim means to be submissive to Allah, the Almighty, not the other people. Then if we are submissive to God, we have to obey the commands of God, follow the teachings of God. Otherwise, we are out of the kingdom of God and we can enter the kingdom of Shaitan. Then blasphemy is condemned. And the Holy Quran says, even do not curse the idols for the idol worshippers. Because if you condemn or curse the idols, they would curse your God, your Lord. And that is not good.
True. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Yeah. All right, let's see if Ms. Sadrion have something prepared for us.
Yes, of course. A video clip is prepared from YouTube, brother, on a controversial debate on freedom of speech between Muslims and minorities in the West. Don't miss it and do stay with us.
Freedom of speech is the bedrock of an open, democratic society, and it must include the right to offend anyone. Many people suggest that because we live in a plural society, so we need greater limits on free speech. I think the opposite is true. In a diverse society such as ours, it is both inevitable and important that people offend the sensibilities of others. Inevitable, because where different beliefs are deeply held, clashes are unavoidable, and we should deal with those clashes in the open rather than suppress them. Important, because any kind of social progress means offending some deeply held sensibilities. If liberty means anything, George Orwell once said, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. Free speech is good for minorities, for Muslims, and for society as a whole. That's why we should defend it.
I'm afraid to say that this debate is not, despite what anyone else might say tonight, about some abstract notion of free speech, but simply an unadulterated, unambiguous, massive attack on a minority in the West. It's under attack from the law, the media, and even from neighbors in the streets. One of the banners, or dare I say veil, under which this attack takes place is the completely unrestrained right to free speech. We will see tonight, I'm sure, where the free speech of the type practiced by the Western media really leads. The marginalization, the criminalization, and the demonization of a minority section of our population.
Thank you, viewers, for watching one more time. In this debate, we see two views. One view is that freedom of speech is the bedrock of an open democratic society, and it must include the right to offend anyone. In a diverse society such as ours, it is both inevitable and important that people offend the sensibilities of others. The opposite view is that, or the other one, is that this completely unrestrained right to free speech leads the marginalization and the criminalization and the demonization of the minority section of the population. Dr. Ghambari, could you please focus on the words specially used in this debate?
Yeah, I think all the time we used to have some dichotomy in our understanding about society. We say, for example, there is evil and good, there is victim and offender. So now, we have to say all of people have to live in a very equal position and equal class of the society. And if we say we are free to talk whatever we want, then we can be offender or to play the role of offender for the other people that are victims of this story, this tragedy.
Yes.
So if I offend somebody by my speech, by my tongue, then the other can be a victim. And if I, as the speaker, as the person who is talking on behalf of the other majority, for example,
yeah.
or strong party, powerful party,
mm-hmm.
then the minorities can be offended and can be victims of this story, then this is not justice. This
yeah.
is not the real meaning of freedom.
But he quotes, remember, he
yeah.
quotes George Orwell and
yeah.
the definition of the liberty. He says liberty is what to tell the people what they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Focuses on the liberty, not the people.
Yeah, so this is the absolute definition or absolute way of talking about freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
So this is not the real meaning of that. I do believe that there is no such a freedom and liberty in any corner of the world. We cannot find any evidence for that, even in the Westerners, among the Westerners. So if we say we are free to talk or to speak,
yes.
We mean by that we are free till not to harm our benefits, our rational, humanistic, and social benefits, and of course, political benefits
yes.
is there.
Yes.
But if we don't agree, don't respect this way of talking,
mm-hmm.
not to erase victim and often the dichotomy of victim and often in the society,
yeah.
then we can have the minorities that are marginalized,
yes.
that are not in the content or in the playing the role of text to be text or content of the society. They go to the margins and then they are now free to talk, even to express themselves.
Yeah.
So this is not the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is the freedom for all people, not to the party that is stronger
and, at
and
the
powerful.
End, they're going to be criminals of the society.
Exactly. If they go to the margin, they can be criminals of the society, exactly. And they can create the other criminals and crimes. And then the society cannot be secured, cannot be immune in that level.
Yeah. Thank you for the clarification, sir.
Thank
Brother,
you.
Let us know what's next.
Yes, thank you very much. Sheikh Ghambari, if we go on with the blasphemy
yeah.
Issue, what about criticizing? If I want to criticize the Prophet, or if I want to criticize some aspects of my Islamic belief, am I allowed to do that?
You know, sometimes we say freedom of speech means criticizing freely the people or whoever you want, you can criticize it. Even I heard from some people that they say we can criticize God himself even. But it's not the meaning of, you know, freedom of speech. Criticizing God, Prophet, and the successors of the Prophets and Imams or the very authentic sources are not allowed. Unless you can ask about whatever you don't know the meaning, you can ask for more illustration, for more command, for more exegesis of these texts. But you cannot say, I don't like God, for example. I wish if God doesn't exist, for example. This is not correct. But you can say, I don't know exact meaning of the oneness of God, why God should be one. This is not criticizing, this is questioning.
Yes, but I'm talking about specifically, I'm talking about specifically criticizing. Why did the Prophet do this thing in this specific occasion in history, for example?
Yeah.
And I bring my arguments forth.
Yeah.
This kind of criticizing, you know, harsh criticizing, without doing anything blasphemous.
You know, about the Prophets and Ahlul Bayt, Imam Ali all the time was using that strategy. And the strategy is that an-nasiha li'a'immati al-muslimin is something, you know, to criticize or to talk to the leaders of ummah, leaders of Muslim communities. So this is some rights over the shoulder of our people, the Muslims. And also, I do remember something from Risalat al-Huquq, written by Imam Sajjad, Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salatu wassalam. In that book, Imam counts about 50 rights, or 50 things, or 50 people. Okay.
Right.
And among these rights is the right of the leader for Muslim ummah over the shoulder of Muslims. So that right is talking, criticizing, or asking some questions from that leader to say, okay, we are not allowed to If you say we're not allowed to talk about our problems, our challenges that we're suffering from in the history, in the society, then...
Now, if we compare it, Sheikh, with contemporary Muslim countries and the West. Now, what they didn't mention in the YouTube clip here that we saw was the limits or the censorship that the West does in its own context. That some things you do not talk about even in their television and so on. But what about, for example, in the Muslim countries? We see that the borders are much bigger in the West. The limits of freedom of speech is much broader than the Muslim countries.
Exactly.
How do you answer to this question?
I can say criticizing or talking about the people who are in the power in the society, the head of the society, like the leaders, presidents or prime ministers or the others, has new notion in Islam, new concept in Islam, and it is enjoining what is good and forbidding what is bad. Al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyi an al-munkar. So this is the way of criticizing people, and it includes all people. This is not only for the normal people or common people in the society, in the community, but also it includes the officials, the people who are leading the society, the president, the parliament members, all the people are included within the framework.
It's beautiful on the paper, Sheikh, but why don't we see it in the society?
You know, I can say what we understand from Islam and what we're practicing,
it's different.
Yeah, it differs, I think.
Yes.
So sometimes we do have great barriers in front of implementation of Islamic teachings in the society. So we cannot remove these barriers, then we are not able of practicing whole Islam. So some part of Islam, you know, we are just practitioners of Islam partially all the time because of the limitation of time, limitation of the understanding of people sometimes, and the barriers of the society. So we're not able to do whatever we understand from Islam 100%, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes this is the weakness of us. But Islam is the religion of freedom. La ikraha fiddin, even Islam says, within the religion, there is no force. Mm. We cannot force people to believe in something. And this is the same thing in talking.
All right.
We cannot force people to talk in this way. But we have to illustrate the borders of God in speaking. There are some frameworks. Should be within the Sharia and not out of the Sharia. Even the Prophet himself is not allowed to behave out of the Sharia.
No.
So within the Sharia, all of us, because we are Muslims, you know. If you want to do Sheikh, out of Sharia, you can, you know, leave Islam.
Sheikh, about, you mentioned it earlier in the program that people of books or non-believers or people of other religions, if they start to say things that sounds blasphemous or desecration of our religion, our faith, how should we react towards them?
I do think we have first to tolerate, to listen. You know, sometimes the more if we listen something, you know, the more we practice based on that without thinking enough, without focusing on that point, you know. This hesitation, this, you know, hastening is...
So no hostile reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
So
first, we have to listen. And then to think what he's wanting, for example, she's wanting from
even if
these
it makes you
speeches.
Angry.
Yeah, of course. I do remember within the jurisprudence, we do have one rulings, one qa'ida, and that is qa'idatul aman, so rulings of immunity and security. And it says, if within the battlefield there is a war with the enemies, within the battlefield, a warrior from the enemy, from the army of the enemy, asks security, or asks from us for security, we have to give security for him or her to come and enter the community of Muslims and to do research and to say something
even
and to listen.
Even if that person has killed your brother or one of your family members.
And the immunity, no matter, you know, who is going to give that immunity, it just enough to receive that immunity from a Muslim, just normal Muslim, just normal soldier.
We're talking about 1,400 years ago
Yes,
in
exactly.
the Arabian Peninsula.
So what about the other people who are not fighting us? there's no war exactly from the majority of the world for Muslims, or among the Muslims and the other part of the world. So we have to listen first and to talk. If talking, you know, doesn't work, and then we can say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. You can have your own religion, I have my own. Then there is no fighting for that. But the way of talking is important. We have to talk, to converse with the people who are not in our way.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. All right, Ms. Sadeleon, over to you. What do you have for us?
Yes, a viewer is joining us, brother.
Nice.
Welcome to the debate, and please introduce yourself.
How many from home?
Assalamu alaikum, brother. The question is here, when and where do you think freedom of speech can help us as Muslims?
You know, I personally believe that according to what Ayatollah Khamenei said, I personally believe that the criticism and should be constructive, not offensive. You know, for example, we all know Imam Ali's government as an outstanding example of actually the Democrat person and Democrat government. And I mean, Imam Ali also knew that he was Imam, but he recognized this right and power for his enemies and even for his opposers to say their belief, to say their ideas. And I personally believe that it's the duty of every, Muslims and Iranian to say their beliefs and ideas about problems and use this freedom of speech in a way that helps Islam to get along with his actual purposes. So I mean, I personally believe that right now in our society, especially in all around the Islamic countries, we know some brutal actions against Islamic Muslims. So we should use this actually freedom of speech to say that crucial behavior is being used is being forced by Zionist regime. And I mean, it's the best way to use this freedom of speech. Zionist regime should be condemned in public and especially in our medias. I mean, newspaper medias all around, all of our medias should target the Zionist regime and use this freedom of speech to condemn all his brutal actions.
Thank you for your participation, brother.
Viewers, thank you very much.
Viewers on the website freespeechdebate.com, addressing that to Dr. Ghambari, in a debate on Islam between free speech and hate speech, a question is asked in this way. Although hate speech brings upon society several problems, I think the main concern in this topic is who draws the line between hate speech and freedom of speech. This is because perceptions vary from cultures and religion. What some may consider hate speech, others may simply take it as freedom of speech, their right to express their opinions. What would you answer?
It returned back to the ethics and the values that we have in morality. You know, there are two approaches to that. Some say all of the rules that we have, or the values that we have in morality and ethics, are stable and absolute. We can, you know, implement it all over the world for any time and any place is applicable. And some people say, no, it varies from place to another place, from time to another time. So I don't think that the main principles of values that we consider these values as good or bad are one, stable and the same and absolute. And there is no difference, for example, for the goodness of justice and badness of injustice. So it is the same idea in all over the world.
Sure.
From it doesn't differ from time to another time. I don't think that we have to refer to the principles of Islam and morality and humanity. And over there is no difference in our perceptions.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Brother.
All right, Sheikh, we have just 2 minutes left.
Okay.
So let's try to wrap it up. According to the things that you said, Sheikh, and the Islamic view, is that Islam is for limits of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It puts limits on the freedom of speech.
Freedom of human beings.
Including human beings.
Yeah. Okay.
Also. And who decides that? It is the Sharia.
Sharia itself.
Within Sharia, the Sharia is are the borders of that freedom of speech.
Exactly.
And why should we have limits? I just made two points here. That one, that minorities could be demonized and put aside in the society. And two, that things that could lead people astray in the society should not be mentioned in public. It should be in private rooms. Is there anything more you want to add to that?
Just one evidence from the time of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt.
All right.
All the Jewish people, Christians, and even atheists used to come to the Prophet and just talk about, you know, their own belief to prove that we are right and we are in a true way, not you, Prophet. And Prophet was listening for all these speaking and speeches. And then at the end, he was talking that, no, this is the last, you know, prophecy that I'm bringing. And for this and that, I am only true prophet right now. And religion of Islam is the only true religions. And in the time of Ahlul Bayt also, people used to come to even, you know, say something bad to the Ahlul Bayt. I just, if there's a time for 1 or 2 minutes,
if you could say it in 10 seconds, please.
10 seconds.
All right.
One Shami person from Sham at that moment came to the to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein also. They started, you know, just cursing that Imam because of misunderstanding about Imam's, you know, dignity, Imam's personality. Imam at the end said, yes, I heard what you said, but if you're, you know, a stranger here, homeless here, I have home, I can hospitalize you.
I can help you.
And help you. If you don't have money, I can give you money. If you have some problem, I can solve your problem. This and that. This is the way of talking.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Qambari. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Ms. Sadiqian, for the technical help.
Thank you, brother, and our experts. Dear viewers, may Allah be with you when life gets rough. Till next time, Tuesday, the same time here. Take care.
And don't forget us in your prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.